What had seemed such a good idea in the cupboard suddenly didn't seem such a good idea now. Even to Wish's hopeful eyes, her mother didn't look firm but fair. She looked absolutely hopping mad. "What are you doing here, Wish?" hissed Queen Sycorax in the voice of a sweetly striking cobra. "How dare you disobey my orders?" And then she gave Wish that look. In most people's eyes, Wish's mother, Queen Sycorax, was the most petrifying warrior leader in the entire Western Wildwoods, known for her stern punishments, her short temper, and her dungeons of interminable depth. In Wish's eyes, her mother was the most wonderful, beautiful, splendid person in the entire world. And more than anything else in the world, Wish longed to please her mother, get her golden approval. Wish had meant to tell her mother she was wrong. She meant to explain about the spell to get rid of witches, and how they needed to get at Dazar and his father, and how they shouldn't be building walls that left the wizards and the poor magic things to be attacked. But when her mother gave her that look, a look of deepest and most furious disappointment, all the brave words Wish had been intending to say went completely out of her head. She opened her mouth and shut it again. "I will deal with you later," snapped Queen Sycorax through gritted teeth. It was too late for Wish to leave the stage, for Queen Sycorax's visitors had already arrived, one of them stepping towards the throne in a curiously crab-wise, menacing fashion. "Be quiet and don't draw attention to yourself," Queen Sycorax ordered Wish. "Don't droop, don't fidget, don't move, don't blink." "Oh, yes, Mother, I won't cause any trouble, I promise," said Wish, miserably. Queen Sycorax's visitor was a tall, alien figure of such alarming aspect that Wish felt a little sick, and her hair began to move and stand up on the back of her neck, softly wriggling itself into a bird's nest of tangles, as if each little individual hair had a life of its own. "Who or what is that?" exclaimed Wish, in a kind of fascinated horror, desperately trying to flatten down her hair in the hope that no one would notice.
"Don't you know anything, you ignorant little aunt?" demanded her stepsister Drama, trying to sound careless even though she was extremely frightened herself. "That is the witch smeller."
"We should have stayed in the cupboard," thought Bodkin, who had reached the royal stage and was peering up at the witch smeller. "We should have stayed in the cupboard."
4. The Pointing Finger of the Witch Smeller. The Witch Smeller had a face that seemed to be entirely composed of nose, a nose that quivered and trembled sensitively at the tip, as if at any moment it might wander around to left and right like a pointing finger. The witch smeller had bony fingers that quivered like the legs of a praying mantis, as if he could smell with his very fingers themselves. Beards of dwarves hung from his cloak. Little skulls of poor sprites hung from his neck. From his belt hung goblin hearts and the beards of elves and toenail clippings of famous giants he had killed, after they gave themselves up, for the witch smeller did not think you needed to keep promises you made to giants. He was a little annoyed at having to come so far out west to this godforsaken, uncivilized jungle. He supposed the food would be terrible out here, but the Emperor had insisted. He gave Queen Sycorax a very perfunctory bow.
"Ah, the pest controller," said Queen Sycorax, inclining her head. "My name," said the witch smeller, stiffening somewhat, "is the witch smeller." "Excellent," said Queen Sycorax. "Welcome to Iron Warrior Fort. I have summoned you here to my queendom because we have made the unwelcome discovery that witches are not extinct after all, and I need you to hunt some down for me." "Oh," thought Wish, cheering up a little, "so my mother isn't leaving the wizards to fight the witches on their own. But I'm not sure she's chosen the right person to help her."
"You have come to the right person," said the witch smeller with a smile.
He didn't quite like the word summoned. Who did this backwater queen think she was?
"Let me explain my problem. This stone here used to be my stone that takes away magic," said Queen Sycorax.
She gestured to the back of the stage, where Wish realised for the first time the stone had been carried up from the dungeon where it was normally kept.
"And for many years I have successfully removed the magic from many a giant and sprite. But about 6 months ago the stone was found to contain a king witch, who then escaped from the stone, and as a result we have something of a witch infestation in the Western Territories."
The witch smeller took a good look at the stone. There was a sword sticking out of the great jagged split that cracked the stone from side to side. The witch smeller tried to remove the sword from the cracked stone. It would not budge. The witch smeller made tut-tutting noises.
"I have built a wall along the entire western edge of my kingdom to protect warrior territories, but I need you and your troops to go out there and hunt down the witches," said Queen Sycorax.
The witch smeller shook his head condescendingly.
Your Majesty, I am quite surprised that you used a magical object like this stone in the first place. And you should have been killing the magic, not removing it. The Emperor would not be pleased. Such softness is not the warrior way."
There was an uncomfortable murmur from Queen Sycorax's subjects, and they all took a step backwards, as if moving away from the edge of a volcano that was about to blow. Nobody spoke like that to Queen Sycorax. Queen Sycorax's eyes sharpened to flinty arrows.
"Softness! Softness! Not the warrior way!
How dare you question my methods?"
she said in a voice that could have frozen the very bone marrow of a lesser man.
"I merely use magic to destroy magic in a modern civilised manner.
The ends justify the means.
I am a great monarch and you are a mere commoner garden rodent operative. I have commanded you to go out and hunt witches, so go out and do it!"
The witch smeller jumped as if he'd been bitten. He had never before met someone with quite the force of Queen Sycorax's personality. Mostly people cowered before him. He, the witch smeller, was the terror of the Empire. He looked behind him at his soldiers, the Emperor's crack magic-hunting troops. The sunlight glistened off their iron helmets, their bristling weaponry, their magic-catching equipment.
"I believe I am the expert on witches, Your Majesty!" snapped the witch smeller. "Your problem is not the witches out there, but the witches here in this courtyard."
"Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear," thought Wish. "This is definitely not the right person to help."
"What on earth are you talking about?" snapped Queen Sycorax, outsnapping him by double. "I told you, no witches can get over my wall."
"You have invited me here looking for witches, and I intend to find them!"
shouted the witch smeller, pointing one quivering finger in the air. He sidled forward and began to sniff at the nearest person, as if he were a dog.
"I smell witches!"
hissed the witch smeller in a high, squeaky voice. A murmur of horror went around the courtyard.
"Oh, for goodness sake," said Queen Sycorax with a sigh, thinking, "Oh no, just my luck, he's a nutcase," and thoroughly regretting inviting this lunatic into her queendom in the first place.
She generally had perfect control of her subjects, but they were a superstitious lot, and she could see this might get out of hand.
"I smell witches!"
cried the witch smeller again, holding his shaking finger to the heavens in a voice of doom. "Mad as a box of frogs, nuttier than a tree full of squirrels," thought the Queen.
"I can sniff out magic, wherever it may be hiding," snarled the witch smeller. "I will move through this crowd and point at any person who is concealing magic."
Now there was a dreadful silence in the courtyard, and you did not need the nose of a witch smeller to detect the smell of fear. Nerves and sweat. Wish could feel herself getting very hot, and her clothes itching her neck and back.
"Murmuring mistletoe, you've never actually met a real witch, have you, pest controller?" said Queen Sycorax, drumming her fingers on the arms of her throne in great irritation. "You'd know it if you saw one. A big feathered thing with green blood and talons."
"Those kind of witches are extinct!" screamed the witch smeller. "I'm talking about the modern witches, the witches in our midst!"
You won't find any magic here, pest controller, said Queen Sycorax, yawning. I keep a very clean castle.
Wish tried to half hide behind her stepsister Drama to make herself even smaller so she would not be noticed. Her hair was so alarmingly frizzy and alive that she was having to hold it down forcibly with both arms. Maybe no one would notice. Please don't let the finger land on me. Please. If that finger lands on me, I'm never going to be allowed out of that punishment cupboard ever again. Mother is going to be so disappointed, but that will be the least of my worries because I also may be dead. And here, the quivering nose was right behind her. Sniff, sniff, sniff. The fingers paused. She could almost feel them, the bony digit about to press itself into her back like the spooky white bone of a chicken. It would happen in 1 second. 2. Wish could not bear it, the agony of suspense. She closed her one eye. Please don't let the finger land on me. Please. The finger paused behind her. It was about to land on her. She knew it. 5. The finger lands on Wish, and everything gets a bit chaotic. The spooky chicken finger of the witch smeller landed right in the middle of Wish's back.
Aha!
Crowed the witch smeller triumphantly, swinging her round to face him.
A witch!
The crowd gave a moan of astonishment. How do you do? Gabbled Wish, rather desperately falling back on her visitor manners. Welcome to Warrior Castle. Did you have a good trip? Very pleasant weather for the time of year. I do hope you're well, and, what do you do? The witch smeller blinked at her in amazement.
I hunt witches, he snarled.
You have to hand it to Queen Sycorax. She was absolutely cool as a cucumber in a crisis. She glided out of her throne in a graceful golden flash, and she laid a restraining hand on the witch smeller's arm. She even managed to sound a little bored.
That is not a witch, pest controller, said Queen Sycorax. That is my daughter Wish. She may be a bit of an incompetent disgrace to her tribe, but she most certainly is not a witch.
She couldn't possibly be the daughter of a warrior queen, hissed the witch smeller. She's very odd-looking.
I think I know my own daughter, said the Queen, witheringly. Hair disgraceful, height poor, general warrior turnout utterly substandard. Where are your weapons, Wish?
I left them in the cupboard, said Wish, miserably looking down at her feet to avoid her mother's scathing gaze.
Spelling appalling, disobedience unspeakable, deportment tragic, continued Sycorax, brutal even by her own standards, for Sycorax was cross. Yes, it's definitely her.
But this notice on her chest here says she's a fuel. What is a fuel? Spluttered the witch smeller, suspiciously. Is that some kind of weird western magical being?
You are the fool, pest controller, said Queen Sycorax in her cold, reasoned voice.
Witches cannot hide themselves in people. I keep telling you, witches are a very different thing altogether. Witches have green blood and feathered wings. They are not extinct, which is the reason I summoned you here in the first place.
The witch smeller had regained his composure. He held up his finger.
The finger is never wrong, shouted the witch smeller. Search the fuel!
Sycorax drew herself up to her full royal height. My daughter, however hopelessly unworthy, is of royal blood and a direct descendant of Grimshanks the Ogre Wrangler, said Queen Sycorax. You most certainly will not search her, or I shall be complaining to the Emperor personally. Wish will turn out her pockets on her own, won't you, Wish?
Thank goodness Bodkin had taken all those enchanted objects off her, thought Wish. He was the best bodyguard in the world, and she really, really should start taking his advice. Wish felt in her pockets, confident at least of finding nothing there, and turned a little white. She slowly drew out her hand, opened it, and there, sitting in the palm, was the one sprite. And out of the other pocket, in terrified alarm, there buzzed Squeeze Juice, who just had time to squeak at Wish.
I'm sorry, Wish.
Wish blinked at him in astonishment. What was he doing here anyway? Out of nowhere, a peregrine falcon dived down in a blur of wings and hovered for a split second above Wish's hand. With impeccable timing, if Wish had been in the mood to admire it, the little one sprite hopped on the bird's back, and Squeeze Juice hung on to one of the falcon's claws, and they soared up, up and away, Wish looking after them with her mouth open. There was a nasty silence. And then there was absolute chaos.
"She has sprites in her pockets!" screeched the witch smeller. "She's a witch!" "Is this your idea, Wish?" said Queen Sycorax through teeth so gritted they were practically grinding. "Of not causing any trouble?"
"I didn't know they were in there, honestly, Mother," pleaded Wish with a very white face.
"Seize the fuel!"
screamed the lunatic witch smeller, drawing his sword.
"The princess may have a few sprites in her pockets," cried Queen Sycorax, incandescent with annoyance and drawing her own sword. "But that doesn't make the disobedient little excuse for a princess a witch. Warriors, defend the princess!"
And then she gave a start as clang, 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 across the royal stage came the enchanted spoon, rushing to Wish's rescue. He had a curious way of propelling himself, like he was doing headstands and then jumping back onto his feet again, cartwheeling from bowl to handle and then back to bowl again.
"What is that?"
hissed Queen Sycorax in disbelief. As quick as a whip, the enchanted spoon danced right up the baffled witch smeller's long black body. Clang, clunk, clang, clang! The enchanted spoon was clanging the witch smeller's helmet from left to right so loudly that the witch smeller dropped his sword and staggered, his ears ringing with the noise. And just as if things weren't confusing enough already,
"Witch attack!"
screamed Bodkin, as, with a strength born of fear, the assistant bodyguard managed, despite his two sets of armour, to clamber onto the royal stage. For Bodkin, his mind full of witches, had seen something that nobody else had noticed. The problem with invisible attackers is that you start seeing them everywhere. But this time, Bodkin knew he was right. There was a witch's talon levitating in the air, heading in the direction of Wish and the witch smeller. So Bodkin stormed the royal stage, screaming, "Witch! Witch!" which, as you can imagine, didn't exactly calm the situation.
"Witch! Wish! There's a witch right behind you!"
yelled Bodkin.
"Seize the fuel!" screamed a whole crowd of magic hunters storming the stage right behind Bodkin.
"Defend the princess!" yelled the warriors loyal to Queen Sycorax, storming the stage after them.
I told you it was chaos.
"Aha!"
crowed the witch smeller in triumph, as eventually he managed to grab the thing that was attacking him and pull it off his head. The spoon immediately stopped struggling and pretended to be dead. The witch smeller blinked at it in astonishment.
"I'm being attacked! By a spoon?"
He leant down and sniffed the spoon all over, the revolting tip of his nose snuffling up and down like it was a bloodhound's. The spoon tried as hard as it could to be rigid, but eventually he couldn't quite bear it. The sniffing was so ticklish. Little ripples shook his sides like giggles for 1 second before he turned hard again. The witch smeller blinked. Surely he hadn't seen that. A spoon couldn't move. Tentatively, he put the spoon in his mouth, because that was what you did with a spoon, after all. The minute it touched his lips, the spoon struggled wildly, thrashing around from side to side, desperate to escape. The witch smeller spat the spoon out in horror and screamed like he'd been stung by a hornet.
"It's alive!"
It was hard to know who was the more revolted, the witch smeller or the spoon. The spoon leapt up, rapped him sharply on the sensitive end of his nose, and hopped down the witch smeller as fast as he could hop, before disappearing through the nearest person's legs.
"Catch that spoon!" yelled the witch smeller, holding onto his nose.
"I wish I had a sword," thought Wish, looking desperately around her. She was standing right next to the enchanted sword, which was stuck fast in the stone that no longer took away magic. So Wish reached out and took it. Queen Sycorax watched Wish do this with her royal mouth slightly ajar. Sycorax had spent the last 6 months trying every trick in the book that she knew to get that beastly witch-killing sword out of the stone, for with the return of the witches to the forest, she really, really needed it, and it would not budge. 6 months! She'd had giants, roger-breaths, strong men and women from all over her queendom try to pull it out. She'd even secretly tried spelling it out, for Queen Sycorax was a very tricky and unusual person, and she was not above using magic to destroy magic, as we have seen. To no avail. Nothing had worked. And here was her odd, unsatisfactory little daughter just reaching out and taking it. Queen Sycorax was reluctantly not only impressed, but perhaps also a little confused. There were things going on here that Queen Sycorax did not perfectly understand, and Queen Sycorax absolutely hated that. Wish wasn't normally all that good at sword fighting, but the enchanted sword had the rather satisfactory effect of turning whoever was wielding it into the best sword fighter in the world. So Wish disarmed 1, 2, 3 magic hunters in a row. Nice work, said Queen Sycorax to herself, watching this. Wish then ran to help Bodkin, for he did now seem to be fighting what looked very like a witch's talon that was floating in the air. Fighting clumsily, poor Bodkin, because, as Wish said earlier, it's very important not to wear so much armour that you find it difficult to move. He couldn't turn his head to face the invisible opponent that he thought he was fighting. He had to turn his entire body 360 degrees and shuffle around very, very slowly. To make matters worse, Bodkin's impressive but completely blind-making visor then came down and he couldn't see a thing. The sword was so heavy that when he eventually managed to lift it and make a wild swipe at where he guessed his opponent might be, the weight of it carried him with it and he lost his balance and... clang! That was the sound of Bodkin's helmeted head hitting the floor. He immediately passed out, for Bodkin had a slight problem. He had a medical condition that caused him to fall asleep in situations of extreme danger. Bodkin, wake up! Yelled Wish.
Who? Where? What? How?
Bodkin sat up, holding his head. Iron Warrior Fort! Possible witch attack! Watch out! I think it's going to dive! Shouted Wish. She was about to lunge with the enchanted sword towards where she thought the invisible assailant might be, and then she checked herself just in time. Could this be... 6. And a little more chaotic still. Indeed, it could be. The invisible assailant slowly became visible in front of Wish's eyes as the iron of the soldiers surrounding him made whatever invisibility spell he was using wear off. It was the wizard boy, Zar, son of Enkanzu. Zar! Exclaimed Wish, completely forgetting where they both were in her delight at seeing her old friend again. But, what are you doing here?
I'm saving you, even though you've completely sabotaged my mission, shouted Zar.
That tricky wretch of a wizard boy! Gasped Queen Sycorax.
Zar, you see, had gone to considerable trouble to get into Iron Warrior Fort. He needed his spelling book. Caliburn had begged him not to involve Wish in all this trouble, but Zar had said he would just sneak in and take back the spelling book without her realising. Everything had initially gone to plan. He had got through the wall by the simple trick of approaching the gate wearing Queen Sycorax's hooded cloak, which he had stolen from her 6 months ago. Queen Sycorax made a habit of wearing these spectacular cloaks that didn't show her face, so she could come and go through her own wall without people recognising her. Zar passed through the gate unchallenged by the sentries, the sprites hidden underneath the folds of fabric. It took a while for them to find Wish, creeping through the corridors of the fort, using invisibility spells and lurking in quiet corners. When Wish and Bodkin had run out of the schoolroom, they had been followed by an invisible Zar and his sprites. Zar had tripped Wish up at the bottom of the stairs so that the one sprite and Squeeze Juice could search her pockets for the spelling book. But once they were in the courtyard, all the surrounding iron had turned them both visible, and by the time Wish had reached the royal stage, it didn't seem a very good moment for the sprites to escape. Tiffinstorm and Hinkypunk were all for leaving Wish to fend for herself when the witch smeller accused her of being a witch. But Zar was determined to stick to his resolution to be good. He couldn't abandon Wish, particularly when it was his sprites in her pockets that had got her into trouble. So he made his invisible charge at the witch smeller, only to be tackled round the legs by Bodkin the bodyguard, who mistook Zar's drawn sword for the talon of a witch. But this was all news to Wish, who hadn't realised any of this was going on. Saving me? Sabotaged his mission? What is Zar talking about? Blink, 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 blink. Out of nowhere, 6 sprites came blinking into visibility, and then, blink, 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 3 smaller lights of the hairy fairies. Wish had been missing these sprites so badly, and at any other time she'd have been thrilled to see them. But right now... I have to say, I don't want to be unwelcoming, but this is a really, really bad moment for you to drop by, said Wish. This was the understatement of the Iron Age. The effect of a wizard boy, a talking raven, 6 sprites and 3 hairy fairies rapidly appearing in an iron warrior fort full of blood-crazy magic hunters who have already been whipped into a witch-finding frenzy by a barking mad witch smeller, is a rather similar one to that of a large, plump, juicy chicken with 10 dear little yellow fluffy baby chicks suddenly appearing in the middle of a pack of ravenous wolves who've had a bit of a lean streak lately.
A wizard and its witch companions!
Shrieked the witch smeller. He really couldn't ever have seen a real witch if he thought a witch looked like squeeze juice, but the other magic hunters weren't in a mood to be picky about their species identification, so they all joined in joyfully. Get them! They cried. Now this was a crisis. Queen Sycorax's warriors might rush to stop the magic hunters from seizing their unsatisfactory little princess, but they weren't going to do the same for Tsar. Indeed, they might even join in. After meeting him 6 months ago, Tsar wasn't exactly top of Queen Sycorax's Midwinter's End Eve present list. Yes, it was most definitely a crisis. But Wish, though she didn't look much like her mother, did in fact have a few things in common with Queen Sycorax. She was rather good in a crisis. Cool. Collected. Tricky, if by tricky you mean clever. In that split second when it became apparent that Tsar might be killed if she didn't come up with a pretty nifty solution right now, Wish reviewed her options. She was a bit hampered by the fact that no one had taught her how to use her magic properly, so these choices were a little limited. She could take her eye patch off entirely. That would make the castle fall down, which would create a diversion but would also be dangerous and a little messy. She could use the spelling book to do a spell of invisibility or transformation. But Bodkin had the spelling book, and it would take way too much time for him to retrieve it, carefully hidden as it was beneath many layers of body armour. Or she could cast a spell that she had seen someone do before, so she could copy it. Wish thought back to 6 months ago, when Tiffinstorm had cast the spell that made Tsar's bedroom door shrug out of its frame like an old man shrugging out of his jacket, and turned it into a flying door so that they could escape from Wizard Fort. She wriggled up her eye patch, just a tiny, tiny smidgen, and looked up towards the Tower of Education. She imagined the door of the punishment cupboard, she knew that door well, gently shrugging out of its door frame in the same way as Tsar's bedroom door had done. She spelled out the word that Tiffinstorm had said as she cast the spell, M-O-U-V-E. Luckily, magic did not seem to care about the exact positioning of the letters. Indeed, it seemed to positively like creativity in the spelling department. It invigorated the magic, like adding oxygen in some kind of chemical experiment. As the magic hunters thundered towards them, swords drawn, shouting, "Kill the witches!" Above their heads, the broken door of the punishment cupboard exploded out of the top window of the Tower of Education and rocketed at breathtaking speed, neck height, across the courtyard. Everybody had to stop charging towards Tsar and the sprites misidentified as witches and throw themselves on the ground for fear of being decapitated. The witch smeller rubbed his eyes and stared upward at the door sailing up into the air and turning round back again for another dive. "What's that?" whispered the witch smeller in a hollow voice of disbelief.
"It seems to be a door, sir," said his sergeant smartly.
"I know it's a door, idiot," spat the witch smeller. "But what is it doing flying through the air like a bird?"
The door came to a screeching, manic, hovering halt in front of Tsar and Wish.
"The wizard boy's kidnapping me!"
shouted Wish, grabbing Tsar by the arm and dragging him onto the door. The sprites, already finding it difficult to fly because of all the iron around, threw themselves down on the door beside them. Tsar grinned.
"Quick thinking, princess!"
Neither he nor the sprites could make this door fly themselves, because the door had iron hinges and an iron lock.
"How do I make it work?" panicked Wish.
She'd never driven a flying door before.
"Use the key," advised Caliburn.
Without thinking, Wish put her hand on the key and then moved her arm back sharply, as if she'd been stung, as the head of the key moved like a mouth, asking, "Where would you like to go?" in its cosy, creaky, upbeat little voice.
"Up," said Wish. "We want to go up."
She put her hand on the key again, a little more cautiously this time, and moved it gently upwards. And the door went shrieking up into the air so wildly that all of them nearly fell off.
"We have to go back for Bodkin," yelled Wish. "We can't leave him there. My mother is hopping mad, and she'll say it's all his fault for not looking after me."
"Ha," said Zar. "Do we have to? He does kind of get in the way. If it wasn't for Bodkin interfering, I'd have smooshed that horrible guy with a sniffing nose."
I think that Bodkin might have the spelling book, boss,"
wheezed Squeeze Juice.
"It wasn't in Wish's pocket."
"We go back for Bodkin," said Zar, punching the air.
Wish slammed the enchanted key to the right, and the door of the punishment cupboard veered violently round in a circle and made a great swooping dive back down again, sending everyone who was beginning to get up back onto their stomachs for the second time. Zar and Wish both had to lean over and drag Bodkin onto the door, such was the heaviness of his armour. "Nobody shoot, or the princess will die!" shouted Wish over the side of the door as it sailed up into the air, a little shakily because of Bodkin's weight, and swooped backwards and forwards over the crowd. The only person still standing on the royal stage was Queen Sycorax. She would have died rather than throw herself on her stomach. Nevertheless, she was rattled, really rattled. The situation had got thoroughly out of hand. She waved her sword up at the door, shouting, not with her usual cool, for Queen Sycorax had lost her temper,
"Come down immediately, Wish! A warrior princess does not fly about on the back of doors! A warrior princess does not allow herself to get kidnapped!"
"Oh dear, she really is cross," said Wish, peering over the edge of the door. "I'm so glad we didn't leave you down there with our Bodkin."
"You're right! You don't allow yourself to be kidnapped, Mother!" Wish shouted back down. "A kidnapping just happens!"
But Queen Sycorax was not fooled.